Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for today.
As we've heard, there's a critical need for more research. Our next speaker is the antiviral immunity theme leader at the Burnet Institute. She's passionate about understanding the long-term impact of viral infections on people's health. Please welcome Dr. Gabriella Khoury.
Thank you, Anne and Emerge Australia, for inviting me to attend this event and join the discussions. It's such an important event to run. I'm a scientist, and today I would like to introduce you to IPASIST, which is an acronym. Normally I have this on the slides, for Innovative Platform for Investigating Post-Viral Infection Syndromes to Inform Therapeutics and Clinical Care. So this acronym, IPASIST, we deliberately named it this to acknowledge the experience of lived people who are impacted by these different post-acute infection syndromes, and whether that's the persistent illness, their families and carers who are very persistent, and their support is invaluable for many years. But also as a scientist, and I'm sure other people in the scientific community here, will persist to try and find some answers on the causes behind these different syndromes. But IPASIST is a multidisciplinary, consumer-informed approach to studying post-acute infection syndromes. It includes collaborations across clinicians, scientists, public health and diagnostic experts. And the ultimate goal is to understand the impact on these conditions on the individual, but also to investigate the causes, to find important biomarkers for diagnostics and therapies as well. The IPASIST pipeline starts with a collaborative study design, which includes consumers, clinicians, and scientists, all providing really valuable perspectives on how we do our research. For example, we've been in consultation with a long COVID consumer group led by the Australian POTS Foundation, and also in collaboration with Simone Essence from Emerge Australia, who you heard from earlier. And both of these groups essentially have identified some really key themes, which are really helping with our direction of what we study in this context. And for example, a few things that were highlighted and also have been kind of, I'll be echoing similar themes to the earlier speakers, was understanding what are the underlying causes of these conditions, because it's really essential to have evidence-based treatments, understanding PEM, and developing diagnostics to sort of help clinician knowledge and ultimately care. So working closely with clinicians and the consumer organisations, we do this to help access recruitment of participants, collection of clinical data, also quality of life data. So for example, we've been collaborating with Spleen Australia on the effect of long COVID in that group, and also for collecting specimen samples to perform the tests that we run in the lab as well. Where applicable, we also like to access biobanks. For example, valuable research resources like the Emerge AusMEF Registry and Biobank are going to be really essential for really building momentum in this space. The Burnet has expertise in both performing impact and clinical and laboratory research studies, and we have many opportunities to translate what we find in the laboratory into the clinic. And just one of those examples is we have access to the Burnet Diagnostics Initiative, and this is an ISO 9001 certified facility which supports the development of diagnostics. And this can be either a point of care test or a clinical pathology test that the GP or other specialist could recommend. So from my perspective as a scientist, my laboratory, our expertise is largely on the immune response to viruses and vaccines. We work a lot on COVID vaccination, but we really do want to understand more about the impact of chronic viral infections on health and disease. For many years, I've worked in the HIV infection space, but in more recent years have shifted focus into broader chronic viral infections. So the tests that we run in the lab measure immune responses to viruses and vaccines. We also perform tests that profile a person's immune system because we want to identify important impairments or changes in the immune system in different cohorts. And we work with an array of different groups, so organ transplant recipients, autoimmune disease, through to chronic kidney disease. We're really interested in understanding how is everyone's immune system working in different contexts. We also apply new technologies to gain an understanding of what's changing at the cellular level and identify any impairments in genes and things. Our interest in post-infection syndromes, really, we're looking at this through a lens of immune system and immunology and our knowledge of virology as well. And from my perspective, and I think some other scientists in the room as well, there are some key research questions that we could address with obviously additional funding. So I guess the really big one for me is, how do viruses actually trigger these syndromes? It's not just SARS-CoV-2, there's EBV, there's even bacterial and parasites, as someone mentioned earlier. And I guess one of the questions for me as a virologist is, do these different pathogens, which trigger you have, does that affect your clinical outcome as a patient? Is there a different sort of pathway of disease occurring? Also, what are the similarities and differences? So we're trying to apply sort of a cross-illness research approach where you can study ME/CSF, long COVID, whatever it may be. They all have very similar symptoms, but are they ultimately the same or not? To me, that's unclear. And, you know, does this mean shared causes or not? And if we can identify important biomarkers, whether that's in the blood or a change within the cell, we can ultimately develop new diagnostics and therapeutics. So I guess the other kind of big question that I'm always thinking about is, how does the immune system play into this? For example, are we observing an overactive immune response or immune system? In other chronic viral infections that we've studied, there are lots of different drivers of chronic inflammation, for example. And, you know, how can we control chronic inflammation? And hopefully that alleviates symptoms, but also potentially causes other ME/CSF and long COVID. Are they considered actually an autoimmune disease? And this is when the body's immune system targets its own itself. And there are very many studies coming through that have found autoantibodies which attack the patient's different organs and things. So I think this is really important to understand that. And from an immunology perspective, autoimmune diseases are normally disproportionately affecting women than men. So I think that's really important to highlight here, as Chris had mentioned earlier as well. I guess the number one thing that comes through from Simone as well, and when she helped us with one of our grant applications, was PEM, what is PEM? So from my perspective, we're looking at it from an immunometabolism perspective. And so we're, you know, measuring immune cells metabolizing normally or not. So metabolism, you know, energy consumption of the cell. And is that triggered from the disease originally, or is that an impact, or is it the other way around? Sort of a chicken and egg scenario. The immune system is changed and that's causing the disease, or is the disease causing the immune system to change? We don't really know that yet. So I'll finish up now. And I guess ultimately we want to be able to design new diagnostics to really help reduce that time to diagnosis. I'm hearing around the room that it takes so many years, and, you know, to me, that's not really acceptable. And also to be able to monitor for disease progression. You know, is there a possibility that people will be able to have remissions in the future? And can we find that? Can we find that perfect marker, I guess? And then this will inform our therapeutics that we develop in the future too. And I think ultimately that will improve disease management, hopefully improve education of health and medical professions as well, so people can, you know, get the help that they need as soon as possible. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Dr. Gabriella Khoury, for your deep research, particularly into post-exertional malaise, because it is such, honestly, as a patient, such a weird feeling. So thank you for looking really deeply into it. It is like nothing else. The word fatigue does not cover it. And I love the name of what you're working on, I Persist. Nevertheless, we persisted.
You may say that I'm a